Welcome back to our Sunday school class, Technology and the Christian. We are in week 5 of 9, so we're rounding the corner, heading towards home, finishing up here later this month. We have been thinking about kind of a definition of technology, and then we looked at a Bible overview, the story of technology in Scripture. Then we moved into thinking about the dangers, the limitations of technology. And then last week we began to think about how to use technology well. And so this week we continue that conversation. But let me pray for us before we go any further. And no, we are not thinking about Netflix today. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your abundant grace, for your mercy to us, that you have gathered us this morning, that we are able to together sit under your word and be taught. Lord, we pray that as we think about this principle of using our technology well, that you would give us wisdom. Father, we recognize that wisdom does not come from our ambition, our innovation, our technology. It comes from you and from you alone. And so we pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the question we have been asking last week, and we continue to ask this week, how do we use technology well? That is the question that we set out to aim. And so in order to answer that last week, we went to Job 28. And what did we learn about where wisdom comes from in Job 28?
That it comes only from God.
That it comes only from God, right? That wisdom does not come from our mining techniques. The highest use of our technology of that day, right? It doesn't come as we pour ourselves into our ambition and innovation. No, it comes only from God. So if we want to use our technology well, then we need to use it in the fear of the Lord, right? That is the beginning of wisdom. Job tells us and Proverbs tell us. And so last week we began to consider, okay, so then how does the fear of the Lord shape our technology use? Well, we use it positively to obey God. So we can use our technology to obey God's commands. Does anybody remember any of the commands that we said we can obey using technology? There was 3 of them.
Spreading the word.
Yeah, right? We talked about the command to go, right? And we have transportation that takes us places. We have technology that allows us to translate Scripture, right? So that's one way. To obey the command to go using technology.
To speak the truth.
To speak the truth in love. That's right. So we can use our technology to speak the truth in love. We can communicate with one another in ways that we were not able to communicate with one another 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago. And then there was a third one. To search the Scripture, right? Technology makes it actually, in some ways, easier to learn and know what the Bible says. So we can use our technology to positively obey God. But as we were even talking about that last week, we hinted at, well, not everything about technology makes it easier to obey God, right? That it's not just a one-for-one. The more technology we have, the easier it is to obey God. In fact, it actually is working against us in many ways to obey God. That it doesn't always help us in obeying God, but it hinders us. And so we're going to kind of take that and we're going to run with that idea this week. So if wisdom comes from God, right, it comes from Him, then to be wise in our use of technology, we need to test how we're using it against Scripture. And so that's what we hope to do with 7 questions this morning, to kind of test our use of technology against the commands of Scripture, the wisdom from God's word. And I'll be clear here, we're going to center our discussion around digital technology. So we're going to be thinking about things like our smartphones, our iPads, our computers, TVs, movies, shows, social media, video games, those sorts of things. I think these questions are helpful for any kind of technology that you might want to use, right? You could think of our homes, our credit cards, our cars. These questions can be helpful as you process that. But our focus in our conversation is going to be on digital technology. That is the water that we swim in. And our goal this morning is not to draw bright lines of you can do this and you can't do that. Right? I could give you a list of commands, do this and do that, but I don't think that will be as helpful. So what we're going to do is, with each question, is recognize that what we've been saying, that our digital technology is not neutral, right? It has a shaping effect on us. So it can hinder our holiness, but there's also wonderful things that it can do. It can bring about helping. And so we're going to consider, does it help or hinder our obedience to God's word? And then at various times, you'll see on your handout two times, and then I didn't put the third one on there, but we'll try to, at three various times, stop and think, all right, what are some practical tips to help us be proactive in keeping us towards the helping side and not the hindering side of our technology? And I'll try to demonstrate some of that. That's why we've got the screen this morning. All right, so let's begin. We'll just jump right in. First question. Question one, is the way we are using technology helping or hindering us in being alert? Is the way we are using technology helping or hindering us in being alert? Can someone read Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37? Go for it, Scott.
But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house, puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
Okay, so what is the command there from Jesus that's repeated four times? Three or four times?
Stay awake.
Stay awake, right? Be alert. And this is not an uncommon command in Scripture. All right, we've got that here in Mark. We also see it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, the command to be watchful, which is a very similar command in Colossians chapter 4, and Revelation, command to be awake in chapter 16, verse 15. Right, so this command is very clear throughout Scripture that we are to be alert, be awake. What do we mean when we say that we need to be alert?
Well, I was just going to ask that question. So By the way you're talking about it, and in this context, it sounds as though you're saying that alertness would be basically just specifically keeping an eye out for Jesus' return.
Yeah, so I think that's certainly part of it. Yeah, so in particularly, right, in this command here in Mark 13, that's the focus, right? To be alert is to be looking for Jesus' return. I want to go a little bit wider and just say that it's to be spiritually minded in things. And a spiritually minded person is going to be setting their eyes on the return of Jesus, because that is what we're waiting for. So to be alert is to be not caught sleeping, unaware, unawake for when Jesus returns. And I think that means more than just we're waiting for him to return, but it affects how we live our lives and our heavenly mindedness towards spiritual things. I could think of a command like Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, which says, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are below. That's the kind of command that we're thinking of here this morning, or in this point. So we have that kind of wide-ranging command there, but we can also know from just our practice, right, that technology, social media, can often kind of render us lulled or confused, distracted by our longing for it, or even just the constant, right, low-pitched hum of anticipation for that next alert. Right, so you maybe have experienced this with like a sound system that never just fully turns off. You just kind of always got this kind of like kind of good sound going on, whether it's in your car or in your house or in the main hall. We used to have that. You would, if you had the lights at the right spot, you would hear just a quiet anytime. And so that's kind of what it is with our digital technology. We've kind of just are always being pulled towards that. So you can think of like the guy that walks into a light pole because he's not aware, he's texting, right? Or standing on a metro platform and you're looking around and what do you see? You see a bunch of people doing this, right? Head into their screens, just looking down and not, right? Not looking up and around them. And that is our spiritual condition. We can do that sort of thing spiritually. We can be very unalert. And so we want to think, is the way we're using our technology helping or hindering you from being alert? Now, I'm not going to be able to answer that for you. The purpose of this class is to give you these questions, and then you go home throughout the week and you begin to think about it. Is this helping me being alert, or is it hindering me from being alert? Here's some other questions along those lines that you can use to diagnose this. Do my digital technology habits mute the sporadic leading of God's Spirit in my life? So that is, right? Am I just so constantly bombarded by my technology? Am I so constantly distracted by it that I am not aware, right, of how God might be moving in this situation or that situation? All right, I might miss an opportunity to have a conversation with somebody because I'm distracted by my phone. Or I might miss an opportunity to instruct my kids because I'm watching a football game or I'm watching a TV show. And that sort of thing, is it muting that? Or another way of asking a similar question, do my technology habits provide an easy escape from sobered thinking about my death and the return of Christ and eternal realities? Right? I don't know if this has been you, but maybe you've been brought with you've been faced with some sort of serious thought, right? Maybe it's about your death, that you heard of someone got sick and it kind of brought up some thoughts in your own mind, some serious somber thoughts, and the way that you dealt with that was, well, let me just distract myself. And that keeps us from being alert. That often the Lord uses that to help us be alert and watchful for his return. So is the way we're using technology helping or hindering us in being alert? Any questions about that? Comments? Great. All right. Second, is the way we're using technology helping or hindering us in being transformed? In being transformed. Romans 12, verse 2. Someone read that for us. Romans 12, verse 2.
But not be comfortable to this world. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so there is, right, a pattern to how this world thinks, right? And that pattern of worldly thinking is being constantly pressed on us, forcing us to conform to it, right? How is it being pressed on us constantly? They go, yeah, our TVs, right? Constantly, right? Commercials, TV shows, movies, constantly that sort of worldly thinking is being pressed upon us. Any other thoughts about how that's being?
Social media,
right? Yeah, certainly, right? Not only are we getting the worldly thinking of friends and family members, but we're getting, again, constantly bombarded with ads and things, worldly thinking from that range. So digital media is a delivery system unequaled in human history. It constantly bombards us with alerts and notifications and the lure of an unending supply of information. You can never out-Google yourself, right? You can Google and Google and Google and Google new things and new words. You can go to ChatGPT and you can get different answers, right? We cannot out-Google ourselves. There's an unending supply of information. And technology is transforming us. We've talked about this. And so the question is, how is it? How will it transform us? There's a book called The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains by Nicholas Carr. And he collects an array of research that shows that our brains are malleable and that what we run through them carves channels into our brain that are hard to remove. So the more what we watch, what we're reading, those are carving channels. The notifications we're constantly getting dinged with are carving channels in our brain. And that is the way the world is seeking to conform us to its will. So we see clearly ways then that technology can be useful in this. We even hinted at this a little bit last week. What are some ways technology can be useful in transforming us?
Think about the voice of the martyrs, we're able to relay information about
yeah.
About persecution that's happening against the church all around the world.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, we have access not only to just worldly information, but to information of saints that are being persecuted and suffering, that we can pray for them, right? We can donate to organizations that are helping them, and we can do that from our phones all within 5 seconds, 5 minutes, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, that's a wonderful way. Hey, go ahead.
Yeah, one of my favorite YouTubers is Alan Parr, who's a
okay.
pastor,
okay.
who talks about mainstream media and yeah. and music and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So we have access, right, to other pastors and teachers who are able to teach us God's word, right? There's danger that there's bad pastors and teachers, but there's also good pastors and teachers who can teach us good things and help us process even what we're seeing and learning about. Yeah, that's good.
Instant access to different translations.
Yeah.
Find the original Greek.
That's right.
Get it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we have access, right, to hundreds of translations on a Bible app like YouVersion or typing it into Google, right? And we can learn and we can get to the Greek and click a button that tells us this is what that meant and here's other places that it's used. And yeah, we can do, yeah, wonderful study in ways that yeah, wasn't imaginable just a few years ago.
Well, and also archaeology.
Yeah.
And the archaeological aspects, historical aspects and references that we can go and draw from.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Not only, right, like we have historical ones that we can look back to, but they're constantly making new discoveries that are only continuing to affirm what we're learning. And yeah, that's good. Okay, so is my use of technology helping or hindering my transformation, being transformed? And how am I being transformed? So again, a few diagnostic questions, other ways that you can think about this. Think about your ends. Is my digital technology behaviors moving me towards God or away from Him? Or your influence, right? Are my digital technology behaviors edifying me and others, or are they producing nothing of any value? Or do my digital device behaviors expose my freedom in Christ, or am I being in bondage to technique, to worldliness? So God's word calls us to be transformed. So is our use of technology helping or hindering in that? So here are some tips, some practical tips. We'll pause here for a minute. Some practical tips thinking about alertness and transformation. So a few tips that you can try to put into practice. One, right, one way that we waste time is time wasting non-essential apps on our phones, on our iPads. So just be willing to delete apps, to delete expired apps or time-wasting apps. You can hide apps on your phone. So I'm going to pull my phone up now. This is why I have this out here. I'm going to pull my phone, and I'm going to show you what that looks like for me. So when I have various home screens, but I always limit what apps you can find on my home screen so that you can only find apps that I think are going to be useful for me at that. So you can explore that on your own phones in various ways, right? So you don't have to delete apps. I can hide an app from my home screen. When I hit remove, I can delete it or I can just remove it so that I can't see it, right? And then just another step that I have to work to find a certain time-wasting app. So we can do that. We can do that sort of thing. Other things that we can do, we can keep our phones out of our bedrooms. All right, I'm sorry. This is just going to be really distracting no matter what I do. So we're leaving it like that. So we can keep our phones out of our bedrooms, right? And give yourself a technology-free zone, whether it's your bedroom, or maybe it's the bathroom, or maybe it's the living room, wherever it is, give yourself a technology-free zone where you're not bringing your phone in, you're not bringing your iPad, your TV, whatever it is. You can use a real alarm clock and not your phone in the morning so that you're not grabbing your phone when the first thing you do to get out of bed. Right? So, I mean, Tori uses her phone. I'm not trying to call her out in any means, but she uses her phone, right? And so it's really easy when we use our phone to just then immediately hop on. Let me check my email. Let me check Facebook. Let me check the football scores from last night, right? Those are all very easy temptations, and those keep us from being alert, and they're actively then transforming us to think like the world. And then the other thing that I wanted to highlight was that we can use focuses. So I did look this up. Other Android has this option. I don't have an Android. Most of you have iPhones, so I'm just going to use an iPhone. But if you have an Android, you can do this. And Elliot can help you, I'm sure. He knows how to do it. Maybe he doesn't. But So most phones in the settings will have something that says focus. And focuses are basically just various things like do not disturb that you can set up so that you're not getting or you're only getting notifications that you want or need. So I have various things set up on mine. You can see I have one while I'm driving. I have one for personal, which is like my day off. Anytime I'm taking intentional day off, I put that on and I don't get notified except for Tori, who's if I need to hear from her. I have personal devotions, right? So when I'm reading my Bible, not only does it do different notifications, but I'll just show you like when I do personal, if I turn that on, let me turn that on. There we go. So when I do personal, you can see my phone goes black and that's my home screen. So it's just even like hiding color. Color is attractive to us. We want to look at color. So you can make your phone screen black so that when you pull it up, it's like, oh, that's kind of boring. There's nothing on there for me. And those sorts of things. So we could do tips like that. We can guard our disciplines, our evening sleep patterns by using focuses. Any other tips or questions about those tips of being proactive to help us be alert and be transformed? Yes?
I set an automation on my phone, which is something that everybody can do, a shortcut, that when my morning alarm goes off and I turn the alarm off, it immediately opens my Bible app. So like I don't have a chance to click on any other app. Like, this is what you're doing now.
There you go. There you go. So yeah, you can set...
That has helped me a lot.
Yeah, shortcuts or automations, that's great.
Kind of a reverse YouVersion, the Bible app.
Mm-hmm.
It has a notification alert that you can have that it alerts you for a Bible verse of the day.
Mm. So that's great.
It's a nice little pop up in the morning.
Yeah. So rather than being notified by Facebook, you're being notified by YouVersion, or not maybe not rather than, but at least part of what you're being notifications. Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts? All right. We'll get to more helpful tips in just a little bit. Let's talk then. Third question is the way where we are using technology helping or hindering us in being patient. Being patient. So James chapter 5 verse 7. Someone read that for us.
Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until he receive the early and the late rains.
Okay. So who here has ever had an Amazon Prime order arrive later than the stated delivery date? No, never? Yeah. How did that make you feel?
Frustrated,
angry, right? What did you feel growing in your heart towards that company? If you're like me, you probably felt some anger, some distrust, right? Yeah, did you feel imposed upon? Have we ever been struck by how impatient we've been, right? It got here in 3 days instead of two. All right, it said one day and it got here on the second day, right? That is incredible in comparison to the horse riders that had to travel across country to deliver our mail. The name of the game in technology is speed. We want faster processors, more bandwidth, quicker downloads. But that actually is working against what we're taught in Scripture. That's cultivating impatience. And Scripture clearly commands us, you also be patient in James chapter 5. Right? Patient, waiting for the Lord's coming. Patient with others' faults. Right? Patient like the farmer who waits for his fruit to yield. Patience means that we're able to focus, holding our attention longer on things and not always be looking for the next alert or the next mental stimulation provided by our digital technology. One thing that we're learning from our technology is, or we're not learning from our technology, is resilience and perseverance. And so this is why, have you ever started a book and you didn't end it because it was bad, but you ended it because you couldn't just keep reading. You just don't have the endurance to finish long books. I struggle to read longer books than, if a book's longer than like 150 pages, I'm like, that is too long. That does not, how do I keep my attention on that for that long? Yes. Thank you for that stare. I'm being like, that's the kind of environment that we're being cultivated. Mm-hmm. So think about this, some questions. Do my digital device habits preoccupy me with the pursuit of worldly success? Right? This is what the world wants. The world wants us to have this and this and this and this. So are my digital device habits centering me, preoccupying me with that? Or do my digital device habits expose an underlying addiction to constant amusement? Am I just like searching constantly to be amused? Every moment of downtime, I need some funny cat video. I need something to catch my eye and keep me engaged. It's okay to be bored, is basically what the Bible says. In fact, it's good to be bored, to be patient, to wait for the next thing. Any comments, questions on that, patience?
One thing, someone was paraphrasing something in the book. I think it's 12 Ways Your Phone Is Changing You. And it was about just like the amount of like dopamine that like goes off in our brain, like when we see certain things on our phone, and like our brains are getting trained to like want that. And she was specifically a mom talking about like, we start to lose joy in the things that God has put right in front of us to like experience that like happiness and those feelings, like our children, like doing something, like it might not be as like gratifying as like the next thing on our phone. So we start to lose the joy like of experiencing moments like that because our brains are so trained with this like high level of needing that dopamine all the time. So the scientific things behind that really like open my eyes to the ways that it really does change your brain.
Yep. That's good. Yeah. We're being trained by our phones to want the highest of highs and not content with things that are right in front of us. Yep. All right. Let's similarly then, is the way we're using technology helping or hindering us in being content? Being content. So our technology is cultivating in us impatience, and it's also cultivating in us a lack of contentedness. We are visual gluttons. We always need more information. We always need the newest thing, the next thing. We lack self-control. We are enslaved. Sorry. I know that I looked at Matt and I knew I shouldn't have done that. We've had conversations about this. Yeah. Yeah, we are enslaved to our lust for more. So Ephesians chapter 4, that's what Paul gets at in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me read that for us. 4 verse, is it 4?
19.
Oh, I'm in Philippians. That's why that didn't make any sense. Yes, Ephesians 4 verse 19. I'm in chapter 5. Okay, here we go. Ephesians 4, 19. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And so this, that sort of greediness is what's being cultivated in us. Digital media promises many things and promises more approval, more entertainment, more engagement. But what it does not promise and cannot deliver on is the promise of contentment. It says you'll be content if you buy this thing, if you watch this thing, if you read this thing, once you learn this thing. And it does not fulfill, because all that happens is the next YouTube short comes up, the next TikTok video pops up, the next reel is ready to go. And so, yeah, it's cultivated, it's promising contentment, but it doesn't offer it. Good.
One thing I've noticed, I have a subscription to an old magazine, actual paper magazine, Better Homes and Gardens.
Hmm.
And in my childhood, I remember Better Homes and Gardens having a lot of things about childcare and taking care of the home and ways to clean things and recipes. Mm-hmm. And I, this week, I got my new Better Homes and Gardens, and I actually looked through it and realized that like half of the magazine is advertisements of ways to spend money to make your home like trendy for now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not just digital technology, is it? It's
yeah.
even that sort of paper and pen technology. Yeah, one author writes of this kind of difficulty concentrating. He writes it this way. At first, I figured that the problem was a symptom of middle-aged mind rot. But my brain, I realized, wasn't just drifting. It was hungry. It was demanding to be fed the way digital media feeds it. And the more it was fed, the hungrier it became. Even when I was away from my computer, I yearned to check email, click links, do some Googling. I always wanted to be connected. And this is that sort of attitude. Yeah.
This is going to sound a little bit dramatic, but it is a very similar brain feed to people who get addicted to pornography.
Yes. Yep.
Which obviously everybody agrees is bad for you.
Yes. Amen.
But the whole like TikTok reels and things like that, that constant need to see more is in some ways is very similar.
Yes, yes, yes. It is it just like any addiction, it's carving channels in our brain, right, to create, we want this, I need this. Goes from like, oh, I just want this to now I need it. I feel, at least I feel like I need it. Yeah, we're all guilty of this, right? We've checked text while in the middle of a face-to-face conversation, right? We're not content with what's right before us, but something dings on our phone and I want to see what that is, right? I've done this. I've stolen away from a gathering to check my fantasy football scores or to watch some football. And I don't do that just once. I do that like every 5 minutes because I need to know what's happening. All right, so the media are constantly parading before us an endless cascade of things that we must have or do or be. Apple launches a new iPhone every fall, right? And every fall tells you this is what you need. And then a year later, suddenly that's not what we need anymore. Now we need this thing or that thing, right? So it's just constantly fleeting, a lack of contentment. So I just encourage you to think about things like this. Is media pulling your heart to what God has not given you? Right? So think about like the home, the Better Homes and Gardens, right? Maybe God has not given you the trendiest house or the amount of money that it takes to buy all those things to make it look like it does on HGTV, right? Can you be content when you're simply without digital media or devices? Maybe a tip would be to go, right, 4 hours. Take, like, leave your phone at home, go for a walk, and go drive out to a park, park your car, walk away from it, right? Leave everything and just feel how many times you grab at your pocket, right? Those sorts of things. Can you be content without your digital media devices? Do my digital technology habits reveal a compulsive desire to be seen and affirmed? One of this lack of contentment is I want to be seen. I want to be affirmed. I need what this is giving me. So some tips. How can we fight against lack of patience, lack of contentment? So I would encourage you, turn off all non-essential push notifications. I have seen friends who have hundreds of push notifications. When they swipe up on their phone, it just scrolls and scrolls and scrolls because they have so many push notifications. And that's creating, that is teaching us something about our contentment and our patience. So turn that off. Much of what we respond to quickly can actually wait, right? I don't need to know the score of the football game at this moment. I don't need to know the latest news event that happened down there. I don't need to know that I have a friendly group chat. I don't need to know every time someone throws a meme in there or a text into that. Much of what we respond to quickly can wait. So a very simple thing for those of you who use email regularly, you take the email app. You can take it off your phone or just set a rule to say, I'm only going to look at emails. I'm going to set strategic times in my day to send emails from my computer. So I'm not going to reply to everything right away. Right, so you say every day at 3 o'clock I'm going to respond to emails. Every day at 10 o'clock I'm going to respond to emails. And there may be times that you have to respond to something, but generally set some rules like that.
Well,
yes,
go for it. Actually, I've been to several business related
meetings, sure,
where they talk about in Outlook. Even you can set Outlook up so that it doesn't, while you're doing other things and focused on other things, cause pop up email notifications,
yes, yeah,
in your computer,
yeah,
let alone the rest of your technology.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so lots of ways to set apart notifications and disable that so that you can focus on what you're focused on. And if you want help with that, yeah, sounds like Andrea's gotten some training on that. I'd be happy to sit with you and do some Google searching and figure out how we can minimize that. One thing we'll talk about, and we'll talk about more when we get to family, the technology in the home, but it's a rule that Andy Crouch gives, that we put away our digital media and devices 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year. And I'm not suggesting that you have to follow that completely, but the practice of digital Sabbaths, taking regular time to And I'm avoid using the word of a digital detox, which is a very culture hot term right now, but rather use what Scripture tells us. Right? There is a reason God calls us to Sabbath and to fast, right? Because those things, doing those things can help us create desire for Him, yearning for Him, rather than just yearning for the next thing. Yeah, we talked already about like focuses, screen time. I have my phone, and I'm sure most of you have something of all this nature. Your phone can tell you like how often you've been on your phone that week, and you can set up limits on that to say, I'm only going to be on Facebook 30 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. I'm only going to be on YouTube 20 minutes a day, half an hour, whatever it is. And you can set those sorts of screen limits so that, you're not being constantly pulled. So if I reach 30 minutes on Facebook, my phone pops up and says, ask for more time. And I have to go to Tori and I have to say, can you put in the password so that I can have more time on Facebook? And so I would encourage you that if you find like you're just constantly being pulled on your phone, find someone who lives near you or with you or doesn't. Maybe it's better if it doesn't. Like, it's just a friend you see regularly that... Yeah, like having to drive to say, can I get on Facebook more, will keep you probably from getting on Facebook more. So those sorts of things. Don't.
2:00 in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't be afraid to set limits and have someone else have the password and you can't get into that limit. Okay. Any other comments, questions on that? All right, well, brothers and sisters, we're going to consider three more. I'm going to give you the fifth one now. In the way that we're using technology, helping or hindering us in praying. In praying. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. When Jesus was overwhelmed, what did he do? He went to desolate places to pray. So I wonder, brothers and sisters, can you still your mind long enough to pray? To think over a passage and pray it back to God? Can you sustain a line of thought as you talk with God about an issue in your life or family? Do you look at news stories that pop up on your phone or emails as opportunities to pray? And the challenge here is not just that we're distracted, that keeps us from praying, but rather that technology promises an escape from stress, a God alternative, right? Video games, movies, news sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram would have us leave our problems behind and enter another world to escape. So technology doesn't just distract us, but it's offering us another alternative to find our safety and our refuge and our strength. And it's not God. But God, in Psalm 46, tells us He is our refuge. This is what He is for sinners, that He is our refuge. So, some diagnostic questions as you think about that. When faced with stressful decisions, do you escape from it by zoning out on social media, or do you pray? Is the first thing that you do when you, in the morning, check your phone, or is it that you pray? Do your digital technology habits distract you from genuine communion with God? How you use technology helping or hindering you from praying? And if at any point you want these questions again, I'm happy to give them to you. Most of these questions I did not think of on my own. I'm not that clever. I'm not that smart. I'm merely a delivery system pulling from different threads to try and help us think about this together. So I've pulled from a Sunday school class at a sister church. I've pulled from the book 12 Ways Your iPhone is Changing You in several different ways. Okay. 6, is the way we're using technology helping or hindering us in being good stewards? Someone read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16.
And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. What are you asking?
Amen. That's a wonderful passage. Ephesians 5. Verses 15 and 16.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I did that.
It's a wonderful passage. Brothers and sisters, read that later. That's a glorious passage. We're gonna read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. You want to read it? Go for it. Okay. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. So, what is the opportunity cost of your time with technology? So, a way to maybe determine this is to keep logs of hours. How long are you on your devices day in and day out? Every time you pick one up, every time you pick a device up, make a note of that, right? How long I was on that, I picked it up, I looked at it, 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 hours, whatever that is. Proverbs calls us to be diligent in our labor. So technology can help us in this, right? What are ways that technology can help us be good stewards of our time?
Setting reminders,
right? I get reminders every month to change the filter in my air conditioner, because if I don't, it will be in there for 6 months. Sometimes it still stays in there for 6 months because I just mute the reminder. But yes, reminders are a wonderful, wonderful tool. What else?
Timers.
What?
Timers,
yeah. So you can set a timer and say, I'm going to do this thing, whatever that is, for the next 15 minutes, 5 minutes. I'm going to cook my pumpkin muffins for 10 minutes, whatever that is. Yeah.
We can spend, like if we have time, you can fill it with good things from technology, such as like listening to an audiobook while you'll be doing something else.
That's right.
Helping you grow closer.
Yeah, right. We've got podcasts and audiobooks where we can learn from things. Yeah. I pay all of my bills online. I don't know about you. I pay all of my bills online, right? I save so much time. I don't have to sit. I help a sister, Gertrude, in our church every so often do this. And she has to like write out every check. And I like save so much time. I just, all of my bills are basically paid automatically without me even knowing. I just check my bank account every so often to make sure things have come out correctly. And so, yeah, maybe you could say, Paul, you should be wiser about that. I take that critique. But yeah, it does save a lot of time. And there is some usefulness to that. So a couple diagnostic questions, right? Do my digital device habits disengage me from the needs of the neighbors God has placed right in front of me? So brothers and sisters, the best way to steward your time is to look right in front of you, right? The best use of your time is not what's happening across the world, is not what's happening across the state or a few hours away. No, it's what's happening right in front of us. So are your digital device habits keeping you unengaged from what's happening right in front of us? Do they expose an underlying addiction to untimely distractions, right? Are you addicted to, like, every time you sit down to type something out, to work on a schoolwork or to do a project for work, do you have to first check everything, pull up your phone and scroll through? That might be that you're not making the best use of your time. Okay, finally, number 7. Is the way we are using technology helping or hindering us in being pure? In being pure. Matthew 5:8. If someone is willing to read that for us, they can.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Philippians chapter 4 tells us, right, that whatever is, and I'm going to pull up just so that I don't mess it up. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Right? So the aim of this question of is our technology helping or hindering us being pure is not just that we use our technology for good, but what Matt 5:8 says, right? What does Matthew 5:8 say? It says that the aim of being pure is to see God. So our aim in pursuing purity, in pursuing any of these things that we're talking about, is not just to be able to check off the list, oh, I'm a good user of my technology, I'm more content, I'm more patient, I'm less distracted, right? The aim of it is to see God, right? So whether we're using technology or whether we're not, right, our aim is to be pure so that we might see God. Our aim is to know and love Jesus more, to be transformed as we set our eyes on him. So we recognize that technology helps us do that, We talked about that last week as we talked about searching the scriptures, right? That it there's so many ways that we can be equipped with tools to read, to listen, to memorize scripture. But the reality is also, brothers and sisters, that it's never been easier to have sexually graphic images put before us. It's never been easier to watch shows and movies and videos that push boundaries and sometimes completely cross them. Yes?
One thing that's, because of AI technology on your social media and things like that, one of the ways that you can really ask yourself that question also is just to see, what does it feed you?
Yeah.
What advertisements are you getting? What other pop-ups are you getting?
That's a wonderful question.
Because if you're getting stuff that makes you upset or is violent or is sexual in nature, you need to check yourself.
Yeah. What is it saying about what you're constantly watching? That's good.
Well, sometimes it gives me stuff just because of my age bracket.
And sometimes it does that,
A lot of werewolf, romantic things on the thing. I have never clicked on one of them, and for some reason it still thinks I want to see it.
She likes that one in the age bracket.
Yeah, and I think that, some of the shows I watch, other girls are also into that, who watch, Gilmore Girls and stuff.
But just so you know, any of those feeds, you can actually X out of them and tell them to turn that off, and as you do so, the AI learns you don't like that.
I've done that a few times. But I'll do it again, don't worry. It's a continuous struggle.
So one question to ask yourself here, what kind of boundaries do I need within my technology to help me remain pure? Right? So what kind of boundaries? Is it I need to completely cut the hand off and get rid of a smartphone, go to a dumb phone or no phone? Right? There's lots of ways that you can limit yourself. There's ways that you can limit your phone to one app. So you can set your phone so that at certain times someone can set it for you that you can only use one app. So maybe that's in the evening, you have someone set, so I'm not gonna be able to access anything but my messages in case someone texts me during the day or that evening. You can limit it to some apps with monitoring. There's monitoring software. There's lots of ways that levels and boundaries that we can set. So I just encourage you practically to think about that. Use self-restricting apps. But more importantly, on this step, I want to encourage you to invite others to give feedback on your phone habits. And those voices are telling me that we need to be done. So let me encourage you, the last thing I say, to encourage you to find someone else who can speak into your life about your phone habits. And to be honest with them, give them access, help them, invite them in to see what you're doing and invite them in on that. Each of us must determine how we want to use our tech. But we're fighting against addiction and the work of social media to pull us in, to attract us to it. And that's what we're going to think about next week a little bit more. We're going to narrow in on that, the way that our technology is constantly calling for our attention. So let me pray, and then we will be dismissed. Father, we do thank you so much for your abundant mercy and grace to us morning, Lord, that we have been able to hear your word, to think together, and that now we're able to go and gather with friends and family in Christ, Lord, to worship you. May our hearts be swelled, Father, in our alertness to heaven, to spiritual things. May we be transformed by the renewal of our mind. May we be made more patient as we await your return. May we be made more content, Father. May we be led in prayer and long to pray more. May we be better stewards of our times. May we be purer because of what we do this morning together. We pray in Jesus' name.